Biden has genuine empathy for people. I really believe
I agree more than I have in a politician.
Trump
is a piece of shit. I agree.
Yeah.
And Biden is less of a, is just a corporate hack. He's just a corporate hack politician.
Sure, but I think everyone knew. I mean, hey, we're in California where we voted for Bernie. I voted for Bernie.
Yeah, me too.
I said this in 2016. Yeah. I voted for him in 2016 too. I wanted the conversation to be had, you know.
Yeah.
And there's now like a kind of civil war happening within the Democratic Party. Based on the results of their congressional, like losses, really.
Yeah.
That's
fun to talk about.
About the idea that, like, you know, you shouldn't say socialism because you don't mean socialism.
Oh, Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
There is a child on the south side of Chicago who can't read. That matters to me, even if it's not my son.
We're going to build the wall. We have no choice.
If there's an Arab American family being rounded up without benefit of an attorney or due process, that threatens my civil liberties.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
Tear down this wall.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
This is Political Potluck with Hormoz Rashidi and Matt Segan.
All right.
Hey. Happy American Day.
We're back.
We're back.
We decided to do another episode because Biden stole the election.
Biden has been projected the winner.
Yeah,
that just happened today. That's so great.
Yeah.
I finally feel like coronavirus is over. I can just put moisturizer on my cracked but super well washed
hands.
You
couldn't during coronavirus, though.
Well, you just have to wash it off like every 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Like,
that's
true.
Now that Biden is the projected winner, coronavirus, I think, is no longer a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Trump said.
Idiots in the street that are just putting masks on while they're also standing close to each other. That is the one thing is all the I'm so happy there are celebrations. Be safe, everybody. There's still a global pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think be safe if you come in contact with old people in your life at all or sick people. If you're young, just go catch it and you'll beat it. You'll be fine.
I mean, how about just get tested? Is a good way to
get tested, but also just like if you stay away.
If you want to catch it, you have your own agency, but also get tested. You'll want to know if you
or don't
got
get
it.
Tested.
You want to know if you got it.
I'm just kidding. I've been tested like 6 times, but I always get tested usually before I hang out with friends or before I go see my family. If I'm gonna go to a big gathering like a party or something,
I feel like
I get tested.
Paranoid about,
you're young though. You're gonna be fine. No matter if you got it.
I'm a young 2 years older than you. Yeah.
You're a young guy who never, and I'm young too. Late 30s, is young. If you're in your late 60s,
thank you.
Or are sick.
You
got to be careful. That's why I always get tested before seeing family. I think that's very important. That's my dog.
Anti-vaxxer.
But let's talk about the celebration. Biden winning.
I feel like
Grizzly, stop. My dog is very upset about Trump losing. My dog is.
Yeah. I feel like on our last podcast, which was just a few days ago, I was extremely tense,
pessimistic.
Pessimistic. I feel a lot happier now that he's actually been called. That they've actually called it in major news sources. I don't feel 100%. Not anxious though. I am concerned with both the 10 weeks of Trump to come and the possibility of his not conceding turning into legal action that no one ever thought possible could be pulled off, but somehow because of this coalition he's put together, he pulls it off, you know?
Well, let's talk about the possible legal actions. You know, let's first celebrate, because I think
Biden, and you know, I've been telling myself personally that I need to separate these two things, you know, today and what is tomorrow, you know.
I think it would be fun to celebrate, because I think all of Trump's paths through the court or through the Electoral College, like delegates being manipulated by the state legislatures, by all of these paths, let's break them down and break what the odds of them being successful is. And I think that'd be fun.
So paths, are you talking about the
chances of Trump winning in the end? Let's celebrate.
Let's start with that.
Biden's
celebrate.
The winner.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these paths are going to work.
We get a bunch of firsts that no one talks about, you know, well, everyone's talking about the one big first. First, female,
first Indian,
first American. Indian, first black, first. You know, person of color who is the vice president of the United States.
That's and will soon be the president because Biden's 77 years old.
And also the oldest person. Isn't he the oldest president to be sworn in?
And that's why she's going to soon be president, because 77 years old in the job that's the most stressful. Come on. Future president.
I mean, you know, I think he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. And he's for sure a tough guy.
He killed a bunch of kids in Pizzagate, I believe. I'm just kidding.
Is that right?
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just being a silly goose.
You think he's the rat? Which one's Pizzagate? One where it doesn't matter.
Don't talk about Pizzagate. Let's stay
on
topic.
You brought it up.
I fucked up. Yeah, for sure.
You brought it up because...
I don't know why I said Pizzagate.
You're an always Trumper.
Trumper.
Okay, let's talk about it. Trump has already been not saying today that he's not going to concede. He even said
Trump's not going to ever concede. I don't think that matters.
His statement today said something like you know, Joe Biden shouldn't prematurely call the election, which comes a few days after Trump prematurely called the election.
Sure. Trump is a hypocrite. That's for sure true.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't know if you knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. I'm not actually a Trump supporter. But let's break down. Okay, Biden won.
Biden has been called. Yeah, for all but two states, three states maybe. But now it doesn't matter because. It looks like Biden might also win Georgia. North Carolina is going to go to Trump, as is Alaska. But that puts it, I believe, at 30-something. You're the math guy.
306 is what I think I heard.
Is it 306? Yeah. I couldn't remember 6 or 9, yeah.
But let's take, you know.
So possible actions Trump has already claimed that he's going to take. First, there's the idea that there's been he's filed suit, or the Republicans in Pennsylvania have filed suit that there was no transparency or something. People weren't allowed to observe the ballots. That seems to have been resolved by lower court. They just said they need to separate ballots, I think, that were counted after the after Election Day. And that seems to be resolved. Who knows if they're going to go to appeals or not? I wouldn't put it past them to delay. That's my worry. I would say the other one was.
I say that the one that we just talked about right now, as far as like people not being allowed to watch certain votes, is that what you're talking about in Pennsylvania?
That's the allegation. Yeah,
I don't think that's gonna lead to, you know, invalid votes or anything like that. So Pennsylvania, I think, is safe in that way.
Yeah,
right. Is Pennsylvania's government its legislative branch, is that Republican?
They are a Republican. I believe they're a Republican governor, too, and they're a Republican legislature.
So now explain this other theory of how Trump can win.
Donald Trump Jr. Tweeted or retweeted said something about, like,
Bannon, we saw in real time with Bill Maher, he mentioned Bannon saying the same thing.
Yeah, he said, state legislators, be ready. That was the tweet that Don Jr. had. Steve Bannon said something to the effect that, like, we control all aspects of government. We've got the legislatures. We've got
the judicial.
The, the judicial, you know, we've already won this thing or something. And I think that
basically saying that the state legislatures can dispute the results and send their own electorate.
Yeah, and just like appoint their own team of electorates that go for Trump as opposed to Biden, saying mm-hmm. that there was a failure to
go against the popular vote.
Go against the popular vote.
What do you think the chances are?
I think it depends on how many. I think the more states Biden wins, the less the chances become, because if they were able to, let's say they were able to get away with that and go to the Supreme Court and say, you know, we feel like there's this many reasons and here's the evidence. And
I think the amount of votes matters in the states, too.
I think it's the amount of electors, you know,
but I agree with that. If it's like within a couple thousand in Pennsylvania, then he'll say they cheated. They stole the election.
They stole the election with. And these then the Pennsylvania, it's going to come down to, you're right, the number of votes that can be disputed.
In the states, that matters. If it's a super close election, but it looks like he's taking like over a point. It's like a point and a half. It's not even within half point recount.
With
number.
Everything that comes in, it seems to be
so
getting better.
I think
better
he's safe
and better
on the grounds, like because his lead is big enough in Pennsylvania and in most of these states. Other than Georgia, the lead is like pretty significant, and they don't even have to do a recount in a lot of the states now. So I think he's safe as far as that goes. Still, the legislatures of those governments are, there's going to be pressure from Bannon and Trump and them to
create a huge constitutional crisis, which I don't want to say that Trump wants that, but there are actors out there that
Trump
do
wants
want that,
that for sure. Trump wants whatever helps Trump stay in office. He's going to do exactly what Bannon is saying for him to do. He's going to push pressure those guys. I just think, and I think we should describe this better, because I think we've talked about it earlier and we didn't really describe what's happening in this. So
okay, what I leave out of my perfect description.
Okay. I think we should just slowly describe the situation. People vote in states. I'm not describing it for you. I'm describing it for whoever.
Listening. Yeah. Describe it. Please describe it to me.
People vote in states, and then If you win that state, let's say California, Biden wins by 70-30, he gets all the votes from California.
Yeah, almost all states have that.
Almost all states.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, he wins Pennsylvania by a point and a half. He gets all of the Electoral College votes, you know, people to go vote for him in the Electoral College from Pennsylvania. What Bannon and Donald Trump Jr. and for sure Donald Trump in the background is saying to these people okay, the legislatures of the states, technically the states decide how they send their votes, how they do their voting in each state.
Yeah.
If the legislature of a state is Republican and they say, hey, in Pennsylvania, this election got stolen from us, we want to send these other electors who reflect
who
Donald
really
Trump.
Who really reflect the truth. Yeah.
They technically can. Because it doesn't say in the Constitution that they can't, but
right,
it would be them going against the word of the election. There's bipartisan people working the election, certifying it, saying these are real votes. It would be literally killing democracy to keep Trump in.
We'd be talking about something that would turn into a civil war.
Yeah,
ultimately,
would hit the streets.
Democrats would hit the streets, yeah. But Trump also has a base that is vocally armed and stuff. I don't think
they would do it to stop Joe Biden from being president, because Joe Biden is one of them. He's from Delaware. He was funded by the credit card companies. He's not a fucking like liberal socialist like Bernie that they're trying to make him out to be. I wish he was, but he's not. So they're fine with him coming in. I think this is the kind of stuff that they will pull when, you know, Octavio Cortez presidency is almost in reach. They're going to, you know, when an actual charismatic young woman is on the verge of being president and changing the country, this is the kind of shit they'll try to pull.
I agree that they would definitely pull it. Like, there's no question they'd pull it against an out and out socialist, you know, Bernie Sanders, even, you know, or a future AOC, you know, what, in 2028 she can run or something. And But, you know, I also think that...
or 2024.
Trump had this sort of like...
Biden might not run for a second term. He'd be so old.
I was just thinking of when 81? AOC's old enough to run
or something.
Oh, is
she not old enough?
I don't know.
You have to be 35?
You got
to
be 35. Is she not 35 yet? I don't know if she will be in 2024. But either way, you know, I think that their plan for this election in 2020 was to pull this, you know, for whoever it was, like whoever got the nomination. We saw that it was going to be a socialist, like when it was Bernie, and then it became a socialist.
Yeah,
then
the
Biden became a socialist.
Because it's a good, it's been working forever. So you just paint them with the same brush as you know, the Republicans have been calling Democrats socialists since the Red Scare.
I think though,
since socialism became a concept, Republicans have been pointing to Democrats and Democrats have been pointing to Republicans. And then like recently it's become only towards Democrats, but you know,
right.
It works. And I think it helped Trump win Florida for sure. You know, because over there they hate socialists.
I think it comes down to two things. I think the delay tactics, which Trump has really proven all 4 years that he's been, you know, really great at. The way that his entire legal operation has been able to delay so many things for so long, from you know, anything to do with his taxes, all those delays, like
the elections and stuff are all on like a timeline. There's an inauguration date, like you can't delay, you know. Right now Biden's got the votes.
It's the number of electors that he win, electoral votes he can win by, you know, if they can keep it.
I think it's both, but I think it's possible. Anything's possible now. This new simulation that we've been in the last few years has proven that anything's possible.
Right. And I think Trump is willing to push all nuclear options to stay president.
But it's like the powers that be that would have to agree to allow the country to fall into chaos to get Trump over Biden.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous. I can't imagine. These aren't dumb people. The people who run the country aren't dumb. They literally wrote it to keep control and trick us into thinking we have a democracy.
Yeah, the thing,
and they literally are almost about to fully realize that by making everybody happy about Biden being president. That's the best example of people thinking they won when you gave them what they've had the whole time.
Yeah, the thing that's made me very hopeful is just seeing these people on the ground give statements that are, you know, and by people on the ground, I mean like the people working the counting in the polls, in the various states, in the various counties. And those election officials are very, very, you know, they seem of sound mind and like they're not ready to let democracy fall on their hands. Like they're against this this rhetoric and stuff, and they've got the receipts, and I feel like if they were,
I don't think the state legislatures are trying to have democracy, you know, die on their watch for Biden to lose, for Trump to beat Biden either. I think they would probably be willing to sacrifice democracy to stop Bernie, you know, like we said, but not for Biden. Biden's one of them. They're happy with Biden.
Yeah, it comes down to more than just them then.
Like, I'm excited that Biden won too, but it's so funny because Biden is literally not a liberal. He's not who I was hoping would be the nominee.
Yeah.
And yet, you know,
there's a lot of articles about like, you know, hey, Democrats, we won. Why do we feel so bad? You know,
it's like people who are Republican who like they have this love for Trump now. I see it on the other side among liberals for Biden. It's like once you've joined that side and you're like, I'm casting the vote on this side against this other thing, you're in that gang and you're like, you got to fucking hold up your guy. And you're like, but then when you look back, you're like, but my guy is a fucking stooge for the fucking credit card companies his whole life. He voted to go to war in Iraq.
How many people are denying that? You know, I feel like everyone.
Nobody's talking about it. Biden didn't run on anything. He just won because we hate Trump so much. And that's how I voted. Yeah. I voted for Biden because he's better than Trump. Yeah. That's literally like, and he seems likable, but if you look at his actual record and shit, all he's done is like pretty conservative things, and he's been a hawk on foreign policy.
But I feel like so many people are saying this hasn't been the perfect choice. I'm going to go on board. People have brought this up a bunch to the. The critics who keeps talking about him saying that, you know, if you'd vote for Trump, you're not black. You know, that was something that was brought up.
So
a bunch.
Dumb. They barely talked about that, but that was so dumb. I'm glad they barely talked about it.
I feel like it came up a lunch.
I don't think it came up that much. I think it was a pretty funny gaffe, though. He's a fucking old man gaffe machine. I'm glad it was the choice
between two different old man gaffe machines, yeah. Though, really.
Yeah, there's two shitty candidates.
Yeah.
Biden, I think, is a little bit better because I think he's like more responsible.
I think
Trump came in and like held grudges and was like, I'm only putting people in my White House who, you know, sided with me the whole time and shit, and had a terrible crew in there.
And had a terrible record of actually filling those seats, you know?
Exactly. And people kept leaving, you know, because nobody could work
the
for
best
this
people
fucking psychopath.
Kept leaving all the time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I think
until he got actors who were just.
We'll have a competent government again. Which
I hope
is cool.
So. Yeah, yeah. I can't wait.
But it's just funny to me to see. I see it on the Trump side. Obviously, everybody sees it on the Trump side and go, like, oh man, like everybody's into this Trump guy who's a fucking con man. Why can't they see it? But then you can also we can see it within ourselves when we see how much we're like Biden, hell yeah, Biden. And then when you're like, oh, but this is the same dude. It's like black people too, like came out and voted for him in crazy numbers because he was Obama's vice president, and they were like, you know, Obama gave him his, you know, the thumbs up. But it's like the crime bill was. I mean, the shit that Trump said wasn't wrong. He was like, fucking. Biden has been in office for like 40 years. The only things he's done for black people are like pretty conservative, anti-black things. But his rhetoric has been pretty good. And he fit this perfect person for Obama to run with, because Obama wanted the exact opposite of what Biden wants. You know, Obama needed old white man with experience, since he was so young running, and he got the and Biden was perfect. Like, if you thought Obama was too young to handle it, he's got this old man to help him out. Like it was like,
yeah, again, I don't feel like everyone's under this spell that you're saying that they're under for Biden, the way that it does feel like everyone's under this like spell of Trump. Trump has like done these great things in the Middle East.
It's not as bad. For sure. It's not as bad. But also Trump is a con man, is a way better con man. You know, Trump is like Trump is the best con man of all time.
I also believe that Biden has genuine empathy for people. I really believe
I agree more than I have
in a politician.
Trump is a piece of shit. I agree. Yeah. And Biden is less of a is just a corporate hack. He's just a corporate hack politician.
Sure, but
which
yeah,
is
but
way
no
better
one,
than a
I
con
think everyone
man piece
knew.
Of shit.
I mean, hey, we're in California where we voted for Bernie. I voted for Bernie.
Yeah, me too.
I've said this in 2016. Yeah. I voted for him in 2016 too. I wanted the conversation to be had, you know.
Yeah.
And this is there's now like a kind of civil war happening within the Democratic Party. Based on the results of their congressional, like losses, really.
Yeah.
That's
fun to talk about.
About the idea that, like, you know, you shouldn't say socialism because you don't mean socialism. You shouldn't say defund the police because you don't mean defund the police. You're using these buzzwords
that are terrible buzzwords that are
fine in super blue states like
Brooklyn
AOC's
or
Brooklyn
Bronx,
County.
Yeah.
But
she's from the Bronx, I think.
Bronx. Yeah. I don't know the boroughs. Do the people who just barely squeaked by, or, you know, the Doug Joneses of the world who aren't in Congress anymore, you know, it's a killer.
But Doug Jones, you know,
Doug
that
Jones
was
a long, you know,
that
was
a long
shot, but, you know,
winning
in
Alabama again.
Yeah.
But
unless they put up.
But AOC did mention in a tweet, she was like, every single swing state Democrat who co-sponsored the Green New Deal got reelected. And I'm like, all right, cool. That's fucking dope. You know,
yeah,
like, because also when you do stand for something, people like that,
I think,
you know, you can just try and lay low in those swing states and be like, I'm just like the Republican, but a little bit nicer. And sometimes you'll win that way, or you can just fucking swing your dick out and say, like, I'm not like this guy.
I mean,
I stand for something else. And you'll probably lose that way. But
I don't know. I think they're two different. I think the real problem we're talking about, the real problem that's happening in the Democratic Party right now, is a messaging problem. Right?
I agree.
And it
always has been a messaging
personally,
problem.
Personally, I think the thing that's great about Green New Deal as a messaging issue is, yes, they put it out. I think it's great. They put it out there. They knew that it was going to be
attacked as socialism.
They basically made it like a... it wasn't even like a bill that.
Well, they renamed socialism New Deal.
They were like
New Deal. People have a good memory of with FDR. It was socialism without a doubt, right? The New Deal was a socialist act that was passed to help people during the Great Depression.
But I think this is where it's important.
But it was genius to incite that instead of use the word socialism.
It was socialist and not socialism. And I think that's a difference
Okay, what do you mean?
I mean, it goes back to the other problem. Green New Deal, great messaging. Socialism, terrible messaging. We're not talking about socialism because and the problem. The problem is socialism is...
How do we define socialism?
Well, how you and I define it isn't the issue. The issue is the other side of the aisle automatically defines it as communism. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem.
The word.
And I think that's why she changed it to New Deal. Well, I think New Deal works so well, not because New Deal is... I mean, that's an essential part of it, but because it was... It's something. It's an idea that we're not going to forget. And in like 2024, we're going to come back to this whole new, you know,
well, we're talking about messaging, right? Democrats suck at messaging.
It's a phrase that pushes the conversation forward as soon as possible, which isn't fast enough, maybe. But socialist and defund the police set us back on that messaging track. That's the way I view it. You know, I think Green New Deal was smart, but not in the short term, only in the long term. And I think it's a phrase like same sex marriage that
I think it was smart in both terms.
Well, it's only the other side of the aisle rejected it and it's not, you know, and used it as a weapon against everybody.
Among people, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you said.
But the more popular it becomes among people, then it'll force their side's elected officials to come along with the messaging as well, especially if it's something like that.
That's what
we're going to hear about it for years.
I basically
now.
Think we feel the same way.
I think we do. Yeah.
I think Democrats are bad at messaging. Right. Which is obvious from the fact that instead of saying like, you know, reform the police, they said defund, which nobody wants to have no police around. That becomes
I've
dangerous.
I've said it before. The best writers are
the right to life is so obvious. Like, oh, or choice. It's like, nah, dude, fucking, you got to have better messaging. I agree. I think socialism is a word that messaging wise, the Republicans have dominated the Democrats with.
Yeah.
The fact that AOC is like, let's look for it. I think Green New Deal is a way of saying socialism in a new way that's popular, you know, and I think she's brilliant. And I think that there's some brilliant minds in the Democratic Party trying to change, you know, those kinds of moves. And I think that's
dope. In the short term, defund the police and socialism aren't helping. We got to get rid of those, you know.
Of course,
and
no,
that's
socialism
the one that's really tough.
We just both though. No, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, socialism is a bad term. No, we're Democrats shouldn't be saying, "Yes, I'm socialist. I'm socialist." You're not going to win that way. You can say, "I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat, and I believe that we should have a Green New Deal just so we had under great blah, blah, blah. You can just say it around without saying that word and fix your messaging there. Same thing with defund the police. You can say we need to reform the police. Nobody's looking at this thinking the police are everything's perfect.
I mean, I've asked myself what they that one would be because I feel like reform the police isn't strong enough because that's what's been said for years. We need to reform the police, and here we are. You know, so what is the right phrase? We've been
saying
it's
actually doing it. I mean, like we've been saying it, but I think it's actually doing it.
I mean, the argument
like
from,
nobody's ever tried to reform any police.
And I would say that, like, just to play devil's advocate, the people who say defund the police know what they mean. They know and they
sure,
are
but
coming
but
from
they're
the
not
idea,
the ones you need to convince.
But they're coming from the idea that saying I think from saying like, well, we've said reform the police. It's not aggressive enough.
Sure. But then these are frustrated people who are bad at messaging. Is what I'm saying. I'm saying people who.
I mean, we've talked about this before. My belief is that the best writers are Democrats working in Hollywood, and they're not working in the election cycle.
Right.
The writers that fail in Hollywood, who have all the training and the power to create words, go work for the Republican side. You know, yeah. I bet Steve Mnuchin's behind it because I bet he was a title genius when he was a producer. I don't know. I think he did a lot of sequels, but.
What were we talking about?
You know, the idea that the best messaging, you know, what Steve Bannon, wasn't he a writer as well? You know, like they're able to create the messaging because they've got the code that Hollywood writers have, you know, great Hollywood writers, working Hollywood writers have to sell the public.
Also, Republicans just have a better product. Let's just be honest.
And, it's
it's like they just have a better product. Like Republicans, they're selling no taxes and don't kill babies. And they're convincing half the population that there's babies being killed and this is the way you stop it. And they're convincing the other half of their base, we're going to save you money.
We're going
to
save
That's
you money.
It's so easy to sell that. It's like save you money and save babies. Democrats have to be like, I know we hurt you. I know we said we were going to give you universal health care for money in the past, and it kind of increased the cost a little bit and affected you, but we're going to improve it. And they have to like make this nuanced argument about various issues and bring together a big tent of people.
Yeah.
All who have to like care about issues enough to come out to vote. And this year, I think the vote was so high because people realized, oh, we can just mail in our vote. Like, oh, America's lazy, especially the Democrats are lazy, and they got a lot more votes out that
way.
Well,
I mean, there's also a global pandemic on.
I think from now on, Democrats are going to be voting by mail in larger numbers.
Yeah, and a lot of states were, you know. I mean, I heard a really funny thing on what Josh Barrow on Left, Right, and Center on KCRW said a really funny, had a funny observation, something to the effect of who would have thought that the best state at counting ballots would be Florida, you know, like after 2000. But they were like calling accurately this unpredicted, you know, near flip of most of Miami from Biden to Trump. This big Latino, specifically Cuban and Venezuelan population that was afraid of the word socialism. I think it's and Trump's a fantastic messenger.
Yeah.
And he's got his own backers now. I mean, man, there is a whole bunch. I think there's a whole bunch of you know,
but
Bible
it's harder.
Belt
Democrats,
backers.
It's harder. It's a harder sell, you know? Like everybody
on
the Republican
tent.
Side is sold. They're all like, I want lower taxes and I want less abortions.
You know,
that's what they're there for. Democrats, some are like, we need to protect women's rights to abortions. Some are like, we need to protect the environment. Some are like, we need to have weed legal. Some, you know, there's this bunch of different people. And then you have
Bernie
to hope that on that night, everybody comes out and votes together enough.
Yeah. And I thought Bernie had the best argument, which is like, it's money, stupid. You know, it's your pocketbook, stupid. It's like what we're doing will save you money if we do it the way I say we can do it. You know,
yeah.
The thing that's hurting your economy
the
most is spending
like
on healthcare and stuff.
That's why I like. It's like we already have socialism. It's just the money is being distributed and funneled to the richer people instead of there's middlemen and rich people in between making money off of your healthcare system right now. But if somebody gets sick and goes to the emergency room, that shit gets paid for by the government somehow. You just, yeah. you can ignore that.
By and it's getting paid by you, by your taxes. Yeah.
But if you're super poor where you don't pay any taxes.
Sure. Then I guess it doesn't affect you.
It's going to be dumped on to the tax base. So right. You're still paying for it. We're paying more than any other country for our healthcare. We can make it way better and way cheaper. And that's just an argument that needs to be sold. But the problem is we have only one party in America. There's no two parties. It's one corporate party with two branches. I'm just quoting Noam Chomsky. One party, two branches, and they all just serve the interests of the corporations that run the country.
Plus, how do you beat – I mean, I think that's really true, right? But how do you beat the argument? How do you beat the argument of free? How do you beat free 99?
Yeah,
like what's even if the other argument is we'll save you money, but it's free. You know, it's like, well, we're giving you back money in the taxes that you're going to get back at the end of the year.
What do you mean? What's free? Healthcare is free.
No, I mean, you're saying, you know, I mean, it's you know, we're going to save you money on the other side. You know, we're
tax cuts.
Tax cuts is what you were saying.
Yeah, like I was saying Republicans say tax cuts and no abortions.
No,
they're like, we're going to save babies and save you money.
Yeah. 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 I mean, so how do you argue that? Like you've got to say we're giving you stuff for free. They're basically saying it's free.
Healthcare,
we're going to get rid of taxes. You're not going to.
No, I mean they're saying if you're extremely poor, we're going to give you healthcare for free. If you're not extremely poor, we'll subsidize your healthcare so that it doesn't, you know, affect your life as bad. And if you're rich, you're going to be paying way more in taxes. That's what the liberal Democrats want to do. The conservative Democrats are the ones who are completely controlled by the corporations that run both parties, and they're the ones who control Biden. They're the reason why Obama was talking about a public option when already Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi had taken out that idea, and we didn't know about it because there was no C-SPAN cameras that were promised, which I will never forgive Obama, even though I've got a painting of him on my wall right here. You know, we could have had healthcare fixed in 2009.
Yeah, you're working it out with Obama then.
I mean, he can come do my podcast if he wants.
He lives.
I think it's a little more comfortable than
he lives rent free, literally in my living room, in a painting.
Yeah. I mean, I do love him. I love him for what he stands for. I love him for I do think he's one of the best presidents ever. Also, I think, you know, what Chomsky said is true. Every modern U.S. president is a war criminal, you know, because killing civilians.
Yeah, that took a dark turn.
But it's like, I think you need to hold people accountable both ways. You know, I also think like Trump needs to be given credit for the fact that he didn't start any wars. Like, is there any other presidents in modern history other than Carter that didn't start any wars in their 4 years or 8 years? Clinton for sure did. Bush, Reagan did.
In their first four,
of course, true. W. Obama is like arguable that like, you know, Libya and places like that. Like, but he did like, you know, continue the wars in Afghanistan.
Kept us out of wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did like continue the Afghanistan war and actually escalate it. And so, Trump, I'm not mad at you for not getting into war.
I think that Trump is going to go down in history.
What do you think, Matt? Do you think Trump did a good job as far as not getting America into war with Iran? Do you want to give Donald Trump some credit on this podcast?
I mean, I agree with you that he definitely did not get us into war with Iran, mm-hmm. but he also worsened our relationship with them.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree. He did worsen our relationship with them.
And I think he did it for pretty petty reasons.
Why do you think he did it?
I think he was on a warpath with anything Obama did.
I agree.
And I think
he wanted to like win over Jews and pro-Israel people to show that he's even more with Israel than anybody else. I think a lot of it was
This idea that he won people over. I mean, it is not new that Orthodox Jews are mainly Republicans. Yeah. I mean, that is been true my whole life. My grandfather was a Republican judge.
Mine too.
And your grandfather was also a Republican judge.
He was a Republican judge.
Yeah.
Jew.
Yeah, Judge yeah. Jew. Yeah, yeah.
He was Judge Jew. That was his name.
And Well,
he held court at L'Chaim court.
Yeah. But he was also, my grandfather was also a big part of the Jewish community and going to service, you know, and shul daily was a big part of his life. Right. He was extremely Orthodox, you know?
Right.
So it's nothing new, I think, across the board. And I feel like everyone's been reporting it in this weird way where it's like, what, the Jews are not all. Yeah. Every guess what? Every single swath. Yeah, I don't think he side of like, the prism
did he
of,
do
of
better
ethnicity
with Jews
and religion
than Democrats usually do.
I don't think we know. I think the exit polls are
in New York and stuff.
Part of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think that
you can't trust exit polls this year because the polls were where people talked to people were overwhelmingly Trump. And then the mail-ins, you're not going to be able to talk to people who've mailed it in as easily.
Yeah,
so
you can't trust the exit polls. I heard that argument. You know, parts of it you can trust, parts of it you can't, I think, because so many people turned out. More people than last time turned out for Trump.
So you got to weigh it. You just got to realize
you can
get
weigh
more.
That. And they have weighed that for the idea that, like, there were a lot more African Americans in those exit polls in a bigger swath. So that's not saying nothing. Is it as much as, you know, maybe everyone's saying we're going to only find out. So,
yeah.
So parts of it are true, parts of it are not.
I think the idea that there's way more African American voters this time for Trump than other times because of exit poll results that show way more African American support for Trump than other times. I think that's because the African Americans that support Trump didn't send their ballots in. And so came out and you see them and when you only talk to a handful of people and see like, oh, well, 20% of the black voters we talked to are Trump supporters. It's because less Democrats are coming out to vote that day. They're mailing it in.
Right. I get that. But I get that part of it for the total vote of what the percentages look like this year. This is where people shouldn't talk in percentages in this case, because not the whole vote wasn't counted when those exit polls were done.
Right. Exactly.
But if you just look at the Trump supporters, which most were counted on that day, which is a bigger number of people than turned out for him in 2016.
Yeah, he definitely
you're
expanded
already
his
starting,
base.
You know, and of that base, you know, of that number, X number has grown.
And he also did get a lot of not as much as Biden, but like there's mail in votes and stuff, too. There's some lazy people who are.
He has been getting it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know,
in Arizona,
I think,
he started making a little bit of a comeback for a minute there in Arizona with some mail-ins.
Yeah, but they've done mail-in ballots before. They're used to it, you know. And now Florida is, too, and they were all counting their provisional ballots because Florida didn't want to get held with their, like, you know, with their Florida man dick in their hands, you know, again.
Yeah.
Who wants to be the butt of, you know, they've had a bad 20 years, and I feel like they're so happy. They must be so happy in Florida to be like, oh, my God, it's not man, us. It's
I really thought.
We called it for Trump. Yeah.
I fell for it before Florida, you know, before Florida went to Trump. Like, the day before, I was thinking, I was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, I feel like there's a good chance that he's going to win Florida, and it's just going to be an early night, and we're just going to know the results. I'm like, I was just like, they can't be this bad at polling. Like, they were like, because they were saying that Hillary's lead was like half the lead that Biden had in the polls.
Yeah.
And so they were saying, like, it's statistically 4 standard deviations away. It's like 99.9% that it's got to be Biden because of these polls, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they were just so bad.
I think it's so weird that
you just can't poll Trump supporters, I think.
You know, I think it's more than that. I think it's they've been superseded. The polls are mainly from news organizations and
universities.
And universities and you know,
that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. Well, broadcast organizations, I would say, you know,
news organizations and universities, and they usually together.
So
usually it'll be like Marist University, New York Times poll.
So we're talking about two real like industries of how information is disseminated,
which
is really the television industry and the print industry. That's who's controlling the polling,
and
they
the
are
universities.
So far behind. But the universities are
universities conduct it usually.
I get
usually
you.
It's like, you know, it's college students and stuff who are working in,
on the phones.
Field.
Yeah,
I mean, it's college students who are intern who are on the phones, and then other college students who are like supervising them and coming up with the questions and stuff and how the. I mean, New York Times and stuff will come up with the questions
right.
and stuff, but then the college students.
My point is, we're talking about even universities though. We're talking about using phones. I mean, we're talking about things
the
entire society has moved beyond,
And it's
so you're not getting the right swath of. You're not getting an accurate. Even swath, no matter how you weight the numbers.
You can go door to door and you know, maybe Biden people are nicer than Trump people and talk to you more, maybe and make it seem like
I don't know,
the phone, and I would guess that Trump supporters would be more likely to say, fuck off, don't call me here. You know, and Biden supporters might be like, yeah, let's talk.
Let's talk.
Biden.
I fucking hate Trump. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm totally
But they're supposed to be Sydney good Camlager. At, like, figuring those things out and being like, well, you know, they adjust to their algorithms and shit. But I think in this fucked up, weird simulation that we're in, stimulation simulation, which is my newborn I'm working on.
That's... it's solo porn and no it's, one. Yeah.
It's me and a massager. It's me and my massager. It's called Stimulation.
Where'd you get this massager?
AliExpress.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That sounds worse than it's even spelled. Yeah. It sounds like you got it in an alley.
But I did predict on a previous podcast that we can go back and listen to. I said Biden will win, but he won't win by a lot. They might win the Senate by a little bit or not win the Senate. I'm like, but significant change won't happen under Biden.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right. So let's celebrate.
Also,
the more that
I get calmer, the more that every world leader that comes in and congratulates Joe Biden, you know, recognizes him. I think that's important. You know, that makes me calmer that there won't be an insurgence that results in a civil war or something.
You feel like there won't be an insurgence that leads to a civil war because foreign people recognize our next president?
Yeah.
How? What do you mean?
That how means that they're not recognizing Trump. They're recognizing it in the absence of a Trump concession. I think that's...
Foreign leaders being like, congratulations, Biden, makes you feel better about the possibility of like an insurgence against Biden in America?
Makes me feel better that there won't be one.
I think it makes no difference. At all,
news organizations. The more official it becomes,
maybe
the bigger
news organizations. Maybe American news organizations, thought leaders in America, all saying like Trump needs to step down. Blah blah blah. People taking responsibility and upholding our democracy.
I think that
foreign leaders.
I think
definitely not.
Foreign leaders saying that shows that credible news organizations in America have called it credibly. I think it's a sign of that, you know?
I don't know. I think especially in America, Americans, we don't give a fuck about what foreign people say about us.
I think we're talking about two different things. I mean, I just think... I think my point is that the more credible that Biden's presidency becomes, the larger the win, the more people
Biden's
come
presidency
will come around
becomes
to it.
More credible by whoever Angela Merkel saying congratulations Joe Biden. I don't think Americans go, "Oh, Angela Merkel said congrats." Like, okay, it's official. The German chancellor has said it makes no. I think foreign leaders make zero effect on American
policy. Okay, calm down, Jesus.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just saying. I think that's what I love about America is like we're not fucking listening to what other people are saying about us. That's what's shitty too. But, like, nobody gives a fuck about what Angela Merkel has to say in America.
Fine, not Angela Merkel, but, like, I'm glad that Boris Johnson, like, didn't come out and say something like, well, you know, I think this is all blame and fraud, and this looks fishy.
What do you think that would do? If he said, this looks fishy, do you think it would hurt our chances at... I think it would make no difference to our people or our democracy.
It would fuel the flames amongst the Trump base for sure.
I don't think they
if
need
a
to
major
be fueled.
I think they have the president.
I think the president himself is fueling it the maximum amount. It's cranked up.
You're saying it's not doing anything. That no leaders of importance in America on the right have shown that they're going to go along with what President Trump's saying.
I think some will, but I don't think enough to overtake our democracy. I actually think Justice Roberts, Justice Alito are going to join the more liberal Supreme Court justices to uphold our democracy. I wouldn't even be surprised if this new cunt that got in fucking upholds our democracy, because I just believe some people might be better than you think when it comes down to like destroying something great. I don't think they would destroy something as great as our republic for Donald Trump to beat Biden. It just doesn't make any sense to me as far as that goes. But what were we even talking about? I'm so stoned.
Shouldn't smoke during these things.
What were we talking about though?
We were talking about the president.
Oh, foreign leaders
supporting
Biden, making it more credible. I don't think Americans
would
think
Putin came out and said Joe Biden, congratulations.
It would really
hurt Trump.
Oh, no. It wouldn't make any difference.
Amongst his base, I think it would be...
Putin wouldn't do that because Trump's his guy.
Putin.
He wouldn't do that because Trump's his guy. But if he did, it would make no difference. I think Americans don't give a fuck what foreign people say about him. Like, it's like, that's like what's dope about America. We're not listening to what who Boris Johnson has to say about us anyway. We don't give a fuck. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's just about the credibility of Trump's lies.
I think the news media does hold weight still with people. Less than it used to, for sure.
A lot less, I think. Yeah,
for sure,
yeah.
A lot less. Yeah. I think it still holds weight. What else should we talk about? This doesn't feel like much
Biden
of a celebration.
Biden says that he has a mandate from the people. And I think he's right. He won the popular vote, the electoral college. He definitely has a mandate. What do you think with the congressional loss of, what is it, 3 seats in the House and they only gained 1 in the Senate or something? Do you think that what do you think the mandate is on the congressional side, where some people voted red down the down ballot, but also voted for Biden, apparently, you know?
I think it just shows that a lot of people, I mean, there's because of gerrymandering, it's harder for Democrats to hold a lot of certain seats, right? Gerrymandering is where, you know, one party makes the districts in a way so that they control more of the districts. Like, they'll win 55 to 45 in a bunch of districts and let the Democrats win 90 to 10 in one or two. And then they win a bunch more seats
because they don't
even
have
the Democrats have
seats,
equal
yeah, yeah.
or more votes in them. So it's a fucked up way to get more seats, and both parties do it, but Republicans do it more and are better at it.
You think it's just a result of gerrymandering?
I think gerrymandering makes it harder for Democrats to hold seats already.
I feel like right? that's a tough argument to make.
You disagree?
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I think it's true that there's gerrymandering, but I think in the wake of a non-presidential election, the 2018 midterms, showing such a blue wave in a presidential election where most times the person you vote for president goes down ballot, you've also, so if you vote blue for president, you're probably going to vote blue for your Congress people. Didn't happen. You know, I think,
because I think during that midterm election, the Trump people, when you win, you get lazy and you feel good about winning and you don't ride for your team as hard because you're already winning. I think that's what happened in that election. Democrats were excited. And they were like, we're going to change things, blah, blah, blah. It was the first chance after losing to Trump for Democrats to do things. Then
I think 2018 had record turnout, didn't it?
Yeah. And this had record turnout, too.
And this had record turnout, too. So,
but I'm saying when the whole country came out to vote again, it turned out that a lot of people loved Donald Trump and came out for him, but that weren't coming out just to vote in a midterm. And so Donald Trump's boost, plus a lot of people came out to vote against Donald Trump. Donald Trump just was like steroids in the election. Everybody like had an opinion either one way or the other. And so they all came out. They said the person who got the most votes ever is going to be Biden. And the second most is going to be Trump.
Yeah.
So Trump really supercharged the election. You know, well, I don't know where I was going with that.
I agree, but I think in the world of I agree, record turnout. But in the world,
and a lot of people wanted to show that they're conservative, but also wanted to show that this guy fucked up on COVID and stuff, and we're going to change it because this guy doesn't seem that bad. I think Biden won on the he ain't that bad.
I mean, this might be going back too much to this messaging idea, but I think it shows this mandate that the people want Biden to heal us. They don't necessarily want Biden on the majority level to pass stuff on, unfettered with a full Democratic House and Senate, even though they did keep the House. And I just think I think that's the mandate there in a way.
He doesn't have much of a mandate. I wish he did. I think Obama
I think it's solve COVID, keep us from plummeting into a depression or a recession.
Like send out and like do some sort of stimulus sort of package stimulus that you and, work out a deal
and,
with.
And unite us, you know, we can all get past this, you know, the angry people that are, ironically dancing in the streets to rage against the machine. True.
That's so funny.
Like, don't listen. A bunch of white people to listen to like the pro-black lyrics. I think that's a fascinating though America that we're going to live in for another 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think Biden has much of a mandate. I do. I think
I'll lay down with you, but you can't have the farm. Yeah, I don't know what that.
What is that? What are you talking about? What does
I don't
that
know.
Mean?
I was trying to make up a phrase.
I'll lay down with you, but you can't have the farm.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It didn't work. It didn't work. Okay. Obviously.
I think Biden does not have a mandate. He's barely winning, and he's losing the Senate when it looked like he should win the Senate. It looked like there was going to be a blue wave. There wasn't. We lost seats in the House. It's like a very weird victory for Biden, right?
Right.
But fucking Obama had such a mandate. He had like almost 60 votes in the Senate. You almost never get that many votes.
For a guy who can make like clutch three-pointers, he choked so hard. He whiffed.
Obama choked so hard.
He whiffed on a tee ball. You know what I mean?
can we say one more horrible thing that people are going to get upset about?
Okay.
Can I just say...
I didn't even pause.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Amazing Supreme Court justice. It's been said that some of those votes that like Justice Roberts jumping on board and protecting the Health Care Act, Obamacare. What was it called? What's the real name of Obamacare? Affordable Care Act. When Justice Roberts jumped on board of supporting the Affordable Care Act and in that landmark decision, they say Ruth Bader Ginsburg was like super influential on getting him to see that side. Amazing.
They're
lady.
Saying that about her for almost all of her cases.
Yeah.
That she that we wouldn't have some of the laws had she not been able to convince on the other people's side because she's so good at that.
Nobody could convince.
Yeah. Jews are great debaters. Yeah. I'll amazing. Take that compliment.
Sure. Amazing. Yeah. You get credit for Ruth Bader Ginsburg's
thank you.
Accomplishments. I think that's fair. I tell people that I've won Wimbledon because Andre Agassi's Iranian.
Right.
But Ruth Bader Ginsburg, amazing woman, one of the greatest Supreme Court justices ever.
On all the Wimbledons, by the way.
Thank you. It was pretty good. Sampras beat me most of the time, but thank you for remembering the couple.
Congrats on Brooke Shields.
Michael Chang, your ASPA. but now Ruth Bader Ginsburg, amazing woman. Nobody's saying she's not an amazing woman.
Yeah.
But what a fucking selfish cunt in the end.
Because she didn't step down.
She should have stepped down.
During,
you're 100,
so many people
132 years old. She was, I believe, 132. And Obama said, "Hey, Ruth, I love you so much. You're so dope. I think you should step down, though, because I need to replace you with somebody, or else you know, somebody else is going to come in and put another conservative in, and we need to keep the majority." And Ruth said, "Who is there that you could possibly replace me with? I'm so fucking dope." And she seems like maybe she's a little bit kind of right. She is. There's nobody you could replace her with. But now we're fucked, Ruth.
Now
we're fucked, Ruth.
I think Bader Ginsburg. I think one thing that
thank you for your service.
Republicans did brilliantly, because theoretically, after they passed, after she was confirmed, after Coney Barrett was confirmed, that issue was off the table. You know, that was the issue that I feel like would have put them in the White House had they delayed that. Yeah, put Trump in the White House had they delayed that.
For sure. I don't know why he didn't delay it.
I totally think that's the case. But I think that the mandate that I was talking about with Congress, you know, one of the main reasons that people didn't just go straight, you know, blue if they voted for Biden was the brilliant job everyone did on the phrase court packing. That was such a scary thing that it was just like, no, you can't just erase
court
our
packing.
Laws,
what a terrible word to allow. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, so I think...
they're dumb. Or it's like, just don't even talk about it until he's in office, then start talking about it.
He did try to do that, and then no one would let him.
Yeah, they're
too many liberals on MSNBC
were like, let's talk about this. We need to, this is something we can do. And it's like, shut the fuck up. It's an election year, you fucking dumbass. But what are you going to do, dog?
Rewrite it first. Before you go on fucking MSNBC, come up with a phrase that's not court packing. Just come in and say, I think we need to have judicial reform or whatever it is. I don't even think that's a good phrase.
No, it's hard. It's like judicial reform doesn't sound good enough either.
Yeah.
You just need to like fucking let it happen. And then when they overturn Roe versus Wade...
I mean,
fucking deal with it, dog, and then start looking at options.
I think that's.
But you know what? Actually, can we go back?
Because
one
how
step?
Do you waste that as your first political capital?
The thing you said earlier about, I'm so high. Why would Trump, you know, take this issue off the table that would have won him the next election? Because more people who are like pro-abortion and stuff might come out, to vote for him. I think maybe you're right, or maybe Trump thought if I don't put another Supreme Court justice in real quick before this election, people on the Christian right will say you're risking this seat to get reelected, you know, and have us vote on the seat, and then maybe his base would get mad at him.
I think he did it so that he could have the exact setup that he has now, where he can now challenge anything in court, appeal it until it gets to the Supreme Court, force them to do it as fast as possible.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
People,
I believe
that he's
you're wrong.
Like cut some deal with or something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. You know, she is like she's never been a judge. She was just like. Pumped through this Republican judicial
she's had
machine.
So little experience, and now she's like, I think we
she's
call
so
it
young
Supreme
too.
Justice.
She's going to be a
That's
justice
what
for like 40 years, probably.
Like, as opposed to calling it court packing, as opposed to calling it adding
term limits. Term limits would be amazing,
Term limits make so much sense just because people don't live until they're 30 anymore. A lifetime appointment makes perfect sense in 1820.
For real.
But in 2000, where we've got medicine so that is like, that so is really dumb. Taking Darwin off the table, you know, like there's mm-hmm. no such thing as natural selection if you can get an experimental drug that saves you from one of the most deadliest diseases on earth. You know, it's it's not necessarily
it's
a
not
fair
Darwin.
Fight
yeah.
to then give someone this power. You know, when people are notorious on the whole for changing their views throughout their lifetime, you know, what's the phrase that you've got to, you know, you've got to be a bleeding heart if you're a liberal, but a cold, crooked.
I think it's liberals are bleeding hearts and conservatives have bleeding assholes.
That's it. That's it. You know what I'm talking about? There's one like if you're not something, if you're not Democratic when you're young, you're this. And if you're, if you don't have, if you're not Democratic when you're young,
if you're
you don't
not a liberal
heart,
when you're heart, you're when you're young, you're heartless. And if you're not a conservative when you're older, you're brainless.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of true. But, I mean, like, you know, like, as I get older, I do become more like when you see the corruption in California, when we pass like a bill for homelessness, like houses to be made. And then you see, like, because of corruption, it's barely anything. And the money was just fucking, you know, stolen.
Well, I'll tell you.
You're like, oh, fucking. So you can't solve things because of corruption. So why not cut taxes? It's like it's such an easier argument to say they can't do anything. They haven't been able to do it. We've spent this much and their failures. Just keep your money. It's like, oh, yeah, that does sound right. You know, that sounds
one
like a better argument.
Yeah. One thing that worries me about the election in California is I really kind of believe that California is 10 years ahead of the rest of the country. And I was really hoping for it to be like a real.
In what issue were you hoping?
When I
California
look at all
lead?
Of them, to be honest, when I look at all of them from the big picture whole, I see this same mandate that I see nationwide. On we can't just go and do everything. We've given a huge break to corporations like Uber. We've turned down affirmative action. We've kept cash bail
And the fucking corruption that I mentioned. What about, you know, like
homelessness relief
if the money's going to be fucking stolen by fucking
real estate companies, by the way, who pushed through Prop 19 to give tax breaks to old people who were already getting the sweetest deal on earth.
It's so stupid.
And yes, some of it goes to firefighters, but, you know, we were already.
Fuck firefighters. That's what Segan always says. I disagree. I love
it's not
firefighters.
Even fuck firefighters.
Thank you.
The amount that's going to go
it's
into these
what?
The amount that's going to go into these to fighting fires though is like a drop in the bucket
crazy.
From this. So it doesn't matter. It's just a sweetheart
deal.
So why
how do you make the argument as a liberal or as a Democrat? Like we should create a new social program to create housing for homelessness people. When you look back and you say, hey, we've already been spending money on this and you weren't able to do it, what makes you think we should trust you with this money again? You know, it's such a corruption. Fuck you, Gavin Newsom.
There's a
give
lot
me more money.
Of corrupt. And
send
frankly,
me $600 a month and I'll stop podcasting.
But really, do I get some of that?
No. No, you're a homeowner.
Okay.
You're a homeowner.
Well, for now, I really think that the big picture of California is like the nation a lot more disappointing than I had hoped. You know, I would have hoped that we would have been for all the things that so many people that call us progressive, you know, think we should be for. Those are things that I think are right.
But people get tricked, dog. Like it's like watching those Uber ads. It's like they're convincing and they put way more of them up than the anti Uber ads. So it's like, it's hard.
$200 million. Yeah.
$200 million to convince them that like, we're giving them healthcare now. And
the more the details,
keep working, or else they're going to lose their jobs. And it's like, they don't,
they say they get paid more of the minimum, like 120% of the minimum wage,
but
only during their, only like when they're driving, not when they're going to pick up. Only when there's a passenger in the car.
Fuck you, Uber.
Not when they're driving or waiting for a passenger, driving to a passenger.
Fuck you, Uber. Fuck you, Lyft. That's why me and Matt Segan, we only travel via rickshaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's an Asian homeless man that has a rickshaw. Well, it's a shopping cart that he.
Now, in fairness, I offered to buy him shoes, and he said he runs faster without them.
Yeah, no, his exact words are.
Well, that's just because we put that chain in his mouth. But yeah.
Yeah. Those I love making fun of homeless people.
Rickshaw. Yeah.
And that's his name, too. His name is Rickshaw.
Rickshaw. Yeah,
and he runs a rickshaw company. If you want to support a small businessman who's living in a tent.
I would have thought they would have been happier to see us going by the Chinese theater, but they really weren't happy.
Oh, man. I've always hated that area of Hollywood Boulevard the most because it's just crazy people and tourists. And it's like, can you imagine paying all this money to travel to California? You're like, oh, we got a hotel on Hollywood Boulevard. It's going to be the shit. And then you're like, oh, it's just homeless people and fucking weirdos. And you can't fucking walk down the street and shit.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're visiting California, you want to stay near the ocean.
That's definitely true. The best places to stay are always by the ocean. Give it 10 years. And I'll tell you why. Because 10 years before,
it was
10
awful,
years ago,
right?
It was awful. Yeah, it was just like
worse.
It was all like east of there, and now they've already a new company has bought all of Hollywood and Highland,
yeah,
and they're going to change everything except for like the Kodak Theater is what I think the contract is, because the Kodak Theater is technically
that's owned by Kodak Black,
and it's also above the the pharmaceutical company and it's going to be different, and I think they are going to change it. They're going to change it into more residencies. They're going to make it more like a downtown, you know, today's Greenwich Village or something. I think that's what they want.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. As of now, it's a fucking shit show.
Yeah, just east of there, they are already starting to change everything.
I mean, I live east of it. It's still homeless people and hella fucking weirdos and shit.
But think of in between you and here. There are
Shake Shack and all those. There's
a bunch of places that are not just businesses, but businesses with residencies on top.
But a block up from those businesses are like tent towns and shit like that. I don't know. I think, like you were saying, Segan, before, we might need like, LA might need like an early 1900s San Francisco fire. LA might need one of those. And I didn't agree with you at first, but the more I think about it, maybe we need like, you know, a big earthquake to just open up the earth and have all the tents fall in.
I mean, not to get too,
like you said earlier,
terrible, but I think on some level there's people on the far extreme right that believe that COVID is just like a culling of religious proportions. It's huge in number, and it's to help us survive on this earth that we have overpopulated.
For sure. And they might not be wrong.
I believe Bill Burr is one of those people.
Yeah, they might not be wrong. Yeah. I think COVID might just be how we make Medicare solvent for a few more years. I'm just saying, like, if you used to need a respirator after this year, I think there might be like a bunch of open respirators coming up.
Finally. You know, yeah, yeah.
All right, this was fun. This was a fun celebratory. It didn't feel like much of a celebration.
Again, this is the most. Democrats have voted for any Democratic president ever.
Yeah.
And most people have voted for any Democratic president ever. And the most people are, you know, a lot of people are dancing the streets, but a lot of people are really depressed about this, you know?
And there's people angry. It's a weird time. Let's see. We'll see what happens. We'll do another podcast maybe in a week to see what kind of legal stuff has been put into the lower courts that might go up to the Supreme Court. And we'll see, like, you know, if there's been any Republic leaders in the Republican Party who step up and say Donald Trump should concede. You know,
I'm curious to see who's going to step up and do that, because that's going to be a big role. That's going to be the thing that's going to be remembered.
That's a fucking boss move. That's like, if I was Ted Cruz, who's kind of a bitch ass dick sucker who who Trump like talked shit on his wife and shit.
I mean, he should step up and he
or Rubio, somebody like that. This is like a show how big your dick is kind of move. But I don't know if I think they got small dicks. I don't think they got that. I don't think they believe in themselves enough to step out in front of Trump because they know Trump supporters love Trump, and if Trump points them at them, he can fucking get a primary challenge.
The big thing is going to be who can stand up to Trump to lead the Republican Party.
Cruz
because
just got
right
reelected
now,
2 years ago, so Cruz has 4 years until his next reelection. He doesn't have to worry as much about a primary. Rubio, I don't think.
I mean,
Rubio
I think this is bigger. This
Rubio's
is bigger than a primary.
Years.
This is who's going to be the 2024 nominee. Because right now I see two people: Donald Trump or Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
And whoever steps up and convinces Donald Trump to step down will be in that leadership position, or will be will probably be taken down by Trump. Because I think his base is much stronger now than
ever. That's why these guys are being pussies, but. If Ted Cruz came out and said, I'm a fucking leader and I'm going to stand up and say, hey, we lost, step down, concede, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Donald Trump will sick all of his people on Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
But Ted Cruz doesn't have to worry about getting kicked out for a couple of years. And then maybe history will look back and be like, you know what? He actually did the right thing. Blah blah blah. He's still a conservative. Blah blah blah. He's still on our side.
Still a Mexican Canadian. Yeah.
I mean, like being a maverick, kind of the way John McCain was, kept John McCain relevant.
I miss John McCain in
forever.
This position. I actually, if I were to put money on it, I'd put it on Romney.
Yeah, Romney. Great. Yeah, Romney would be the guy to do it because also Utah it like doesn't have a huge support for Trump. It's like they're Republicans, but they don't like
Trump.
But
also, but Romney's almost ineffective too. It's a tough question to answer because who's he going to listen to? Because it's
Romney would be a good person to look for. Let's definitely talk about that soon. We're going to keep cranking out episodes for now because shit's exciting right now.
Yeah.
And then,
need to straddle.
And then we'll stop again for a couple of years when Biden
becomes the
most
when there's nothing to joke
ever.
About or talk about. Yeah.
Just a fucking old person home in the fucking White House with Joe Biden falling asleep at the desk. Like, ugh, it's going to be a great couple of years.
That's such a great.
And
image.
Then he's going to pass away probably 2022. And then Kamala Harris for a couple of years. And then hopefully she wins re-election. If not, 4 years after that, AOC. And then America becomes fucking super dope.
Well, I mean. No, America just has to deal with worse climate change. And
another
we're all
different
we're all
COVID 20 will be coming out soon.
And this is the war that's coming.
I'm waiting to get COVID 20. I don't want to get COVID 19 and then find out there's a COVID 20, you know, and then have to wait in line for that.
Well, COVID 20 is just a mixtape. You got to wait for COVID 21.
Oh,
yeah.
Like the Carter Five.
Let it.
Thank you guys for
listening.
Thank you.
Go America. We did it. I'm going to go hug myself and cry.
Sorry here, bud.